All right, Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 21 for this morning. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 21 is actually one section. We're taking it in 2 weeks. We're taking the last half of the section today, verses 11 through 21. We're still following the Lord's ministry in Galilee. And we saw in verses 1 through 3, in the introductory remarks, the Lord's preaching as He went from city to city and village to village, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We saw, secondly, the people that were with Him, that the 12 were with Him, along with introduction to us by Luke, that there were a group of women who had been healed from evil spirits and sicknesses, and many other women who were in the entourage as Jesus made His journey from city to city and village to village. And these women were ministering to Him from out of their possessions. The word substance in King James is literally the word possession. The Lord did not take up a collection in order to support their ministry, but rather from the people's possessions, they supported the Lord's work and the Lord's ministry. Then we saw the fact that people were coming out from the cities and from the villages out to hear the Lord and to see Him, and He spoke to them through a parable. So verses now 4 through 8, we talk about the parable that Jesus spoke. The parable of the sower who went out, and at the time of sowing seed, some seed fell along the side of the road and was trampled down. And the birds came and ate the seed because the seed was sitting on the top of the soil. And the seed had nowhere to go and just sat there because the ground was compacted from people trampling on it. And the birds came and ate the seed. Other seed fell upon the rocky soil. As I explained last week, Petra has to do with a rock slab. Not that rock was mixed in with the soil, but it was a rock slab with a little thin layer of dirt on top of it. And then further out from the road area were the weeds. And some of the seed fell in amongst the weeds and grew up with the weeds, and the weeds choked out the seed so that it did not bear fruit. And the fourth kind of soil was the good ground, that which received the seed. It had no weeds. It had no rocky ground underneath. It was plowed and tilled and prepared to be receptive to the seed, as we'll see in a moment, which is the Word of God. Now, it's kind of interesting as you travel out here on a Sunday or whenever, you'll notice that each one of these conditions exist out here in the farm fields. You have the road, and you have that part of the road that you could pull over, or what we call the shoulder of the road, that is all trodden down and compacted by foot and by car tire. Then you have the rocky soil. Actually, we have a mixture of rock and soil. We don't have the cement or the rock slab underneath. But then you have right next to the fence between the highway and the farmer's field, you have weeds growing up amongst the fence until they take it down. And then on the other side of the fence, you have the plowed ground, the ground that is receptive to the seed and ready to produce. And the interesting part about this is, at the end of Jesus' explanation, in verse 8, I want to bring that to your attention again before we get into the text for today. In verse 8, Jesus said, while saying these things, He was calling out or crying out, the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. The present tense, while saying these things, And the imperfect tense was calling out shows that he was saying this phrase throughout the presentation, not just at the end. While in the process of saying these things, he was continually calling or crying out, "The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." So that was the end of the presentation. People just kind of standing around going, "Hey, nice story, we're familiar with that." Because that's what a parable is. The word parabole means to place alongside of. Jesus taking a common everyday story, function of life that everybody's familiar with, and place it alongside of spiritual truth. Not everything in the parable has to do with truth, but within the story contains the message of the spiritual truth. Parable A, to place alongside of, or to cast alongside of. Now what is interesting is the disciples came to him and said, "What might this parable be?" And the explanation of Jesus was that for you, it has been appointed to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest, just stories. Bible stories. Parables. Teachings. But don't associate with anything spiritual. And this is a key to the understanding of the things of the Lord that are very important. A person cannot understand the things of God unless God's Spirit reveals it to them. They're past finding out. They cannot be researched. They cannot be investigated. You can research the Bible, but have absolutely no enlightenment as to the spiritual truth about it. So you can research it as a textbook, but to actually have an understanding about what the Bible is teaching, God's Spirit has to reveal it to you. And if God's Spirit doesn't reveal it to you, you're lost. And what is interesting is that Jesus was calling out, "Let the one who has ears to hear, let him hear." He wasn't asking the people in the back row, "Are you capable of hearing me? Can you hear me okay?" He was calling out people who had the ear to hear, the good soil. They are the ones who came to Jesus and said, "I got to find out what this means. I got to find out what the Word of God says. I got to find out what the Word of God teaches." That can only come by the Spirit of God. A human being cannot work up that desire. It must be God's Spirit. And I like Jesus' approach to the whole thing. Of course, I like everything that he did. I approve of everything that Jesus did. But we can take note of that even in, for instance, in John chapter 6, when they came to argue with him about his teachings, he says, "Look, you can't come unless the Father draw you." That was his explanation. "The reason why you can't believe is because my word has no place in you." He didn't try to talk him into it or try to persuade them. The parable of the sower sets the believer free, not only in understanding, but in approach and service to Christ. Because what God does through us is he sows the seed. That's all we do is sow the seed. I get in trouble when I find particular or specific people that I say, "Man, I really like him. I really like her. I would really like to see him get saved. I really like to see her get saved." And focus on them and really work them over. Do everything that I can to try to get them to believe, you know? But that's where I get frustrated, and that's where I get myself caught up in all the stress, and all of a sudden I have to back off and say, "Wait a minute, that's not my job." The joy and the peace and the freedom comes in just saying, "Look, all God does is sow the seed from us. And the one who has ears to hear will respond. And the one that doesn't won't." Makes our job easy. We just tell the parable. We just tell the story. The ones who have ears to hear, they're going to come and they're going to say, "What does that mean? I'm interested. I want to hear what God's Word has to say. I want to learn about God's Word. What does this mean?" For today, verses 11 through 21, as we continue, first of all, the translation beginning at verse 11. "The seed is the Word of God in the parable. And I should also mention too, if you're taking notes, you might take note of Mark 4:13. It's a very important verse. Chuck Smith once said that when he got out of school, that they told him, "Don't teach the parables until you've been in ministry for 30 years." Because everybody has their own insight as to what the parables mean. Mark 4:13 is a key. Because Mark records that when Jesus, at this time, spoke this parable, he also said, "The seed is the word of God, and also by this you will know all parables." From the parable of the sower comes the meanings and definitions for all the parables. You can know all the parables by the application of the parable of the sower. The birds represent evil, as we'll see. The seed is the word of God. Some people say that in the parable where the birds were in the trees, the tree grew to large size, and there were birds in the trees, and the birds represent the church filling the trees. No, birds are always evil in the parables. "By this you shall know all parables." So basically the advice given was, don't teach on the parables until basically you're over your education and your personal insight and you're willing to accept the fact that Jesus already gave the answers, so that you can know all parables and what they mean. So in verse 11 it says, "The seed is the word of God. And the seed that has fallen along the road, they are the ones who, while hearing, then the devil comes and removes the word from their heart, in order that, not having believed, they should be saved." Some of you want to get into the Greek of that, we will tomorrow night. "And the seed that fell upon the rock are whom, when they should hear," interesting subjunctive, whenever they should hear, they're not consistent. "Whenever they should hear, they receive the word with joy." The word "receive" is dekomai, that means to welcome, not lambano, meaning receptive to the word in the heart, but they welcome the word. "And these have no root, who are believing for a time." The word "time" is the word for season. You know, summertime's a good time to follow the Lord. You know, you have camps, warm weather, school's out. Wintertime's a bad time. You know, there are seasons in which people pick to hear the Word of God and to believe. "These are these who have no root, and for a time they are believing. And in a time of testing, they fall away. And the seed that fell, that having fallen into the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And after they are here, while they are going, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And they do not bring fruit to perfection." Interesting, the last Greek phrase, "and they do not bring it to perfection or completion," is actually a medical term brought about by Luke. It has to do with a woman who is pregnant and does not come to full term. The seed is sown in the womb. There is some activity or growth or production in the womb, but there is no producing of a child for some reason. It does not come to full term. Verse 15, "And the seed that is in the good ground, these are the ones who, in a right and good heart, after having heard the word, they hold it down." The word "keep" in the King James means to hold it down. "And they bear fruit in endurance." The word "patience" is hupomeno, to remain under, endurance. "And no one, after having lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel." The word "vessel" literally means a container in general. "Or places it under a couch, but upon the lampstand, in order that those who are coming in or are entering might see the light. For there is nothing hidden which shall not become manifest, neither secret which shall never become known and come into manifestation. Therefore, take heed, or more literally, observe. Therefore, observe how you are hearing. For whoever has, it shall be given to him, and whoever should not have, even what he thinks or supposes to have, it shall be removed from him. And his mother and his brothers came to him, and they were not able to get to him on account of the crowd. The King James says, on account of the press. And when I first became a Christian, not being familiar with King James language, I thought, boy, they got the newspaper people there. You know, on account of the press, they couldn't even get in. But it's literally on account of the crowd that was surrounding him and his teaching, they were not able to get into him. And it was reported to him of a certain ones saying, your mother and your brothers have been standing outside desiring to see you. And he, when he answered, he said to them, my mother and my brothers are these, the ones hearing the word of God. Those of you following in your Greek text, notice the article with the participle. There's an attributive position here for the word of God. The ones hearing the word of God and the ones doing it. These are my mother and my brother. This section, verses 11 through 21, again has to do with ways of hearing the word of God. He explained the parable this way. This is the parable, verse 11. The seed is the word. And again, Mark 4:13. Before the explanation, according to Mark's presentation, and Jesus presented the fact, how shall you know all parables except that you understand this one? That's the basic meaning. The first one in verse 12, the seed along the road are the ones who are hearing. Then the devil comes and removes the word from their heart in order that not having believed, they should be saved. The condition of the soil, it has already been trodden down. Tire marks, foot marks. In those days it would be wheel marks and foot marks of people walking. So that when the seed, which is the word of God, falls into the soil, it just sits there. Can't penetrate because the soil is so hard. It is interesting to me how the Bible presents in Hebrews 4:12 how powerful God's word is. God's word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts down between the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and motives of the heart. I've seen times when just the genealogy was read and it bothered people. When there was no teaching, it was just a reading of the history of God's people. And for some strange reason, if that person's heart was not right with the Lord, they were touched by the confrontation of God's Spirit through His Word. Doesn't make a difference where you are. If God wants to touch a person's heart through His Word, any part of His Word, you could read sit there and read the genealogies for an hour. The people would be bored stiff, but God's Spirit would be ministering and touching people's heart. The light would be there. If anything, I mean, we're talking bare minimum. We're talking about someone who does not understand intellectually or just understand by way of explanation because God's Spirit hasn't revealed it to them or whatever the case may be, just lack of capacity. Still, a person is confronted with the light. Their heart is still responding to the light. Every time we pick up God's Word, every time we fellowship together in the name of Christ, every time we discuss God's Word or study God's Word together, there is a heart response going on continuously. If it's rebellion, that will grow to what the Scripture calls from the Greek word callous. Calluses will grow in the heart. We're not talking about the heart the muscle that pumps blood we're talking about, the spirit of man, the inner person, the psyche, the thought processes, and the energy that passes through the thought processes. There is a continual response. One might be, yeah, yeah, hurry up, we only have an hour. You know? But there's a build-up, there's a callousness there, building up in response to the things of the Lord. There is a heart condition taking place. As I told you before, I went and heard the Word of God. In fact, it was 2 Corinthians. Heard the Word of God for 9 months. I can't remember a thing, the guy said. I didn't even understand what he was talking about. I didn't even know why I was there. On a Sunday night in his home, leading a Bible study. I had no idea what he was talking about. I had no spiritual understanding. I had no clue. Obviously, God's faithfulness to say, you're going to go over and you're going to sit under the hearing of my word by my spirit, and you're not going to have a clue what's going on in your heart. What he was doing was plowing up the fallow ground, preparing the soil to be receptive to the seed. And the seed was continually, you know, he was weeding my garden. He was preparing my heart. So that at a specific time that only he knew about, there was a time to receive Christ. And I didn't say a sinner's prayer. In fact, when I was saved, I wasn't even thinking about the Lord. God's Spirit just came upon me. I knew exactly who he was. I knew exactly what had happened to me. I knew exactly why he saved me and what my calling was, all at the same time. People have different experiences for salvation. That doesn't mean you can't pray, and that doesn't mean that you cannot pray to receive Christ, etc. But it is interesting to me how God proves to me more and more, which I didn't learn for many years, is that He's the one that saves people. He prepared the condition of my heart. My heart had a heart response every time I heard the word. But I didn't understand it because I didn't even understand what I was hearing. What does this stuff mean? I have no idea. None of the Christians there ever asked me, do you understand the word? Are you saved? You want to pray? They just welcomed me, gave me my cup of coffee and my donut, and I sat and listened, looked at them. Interesting. They had a little bit of fellowship afterwards. I left. I did that every week for 9 months. And had no idea why I was there. I just knew I had to go. Something in me had to find out what this was all about. So literally the Spirit of God drove me. Literally the Spirit of God prepared my heart. And literally the Spirit of God saved me. And I was just a passenger on the ship. I think of that every time I see my sailboat on the shelf on top of my computer. That's all we are. We're sailboats, and sometimes we try to be motorboats. Sometimes we try to start up the engine and steer the boat in the direction we want it to go. When in reality, God, by the wind of His Spirit, is taking us in a direction that we would not choose to go. So the ones along the road are the ones with a hard heart, and the Word just sits there, and Satan, the devil, comes and removes the Word of God. It is interesting to me how powerful the effects of God's Word is, but God, in His allowance of the free will process, goes by the response of the heart, not the power of the Word. The power of the Word is there. Why doesn't the power of God's Word just blow that dirt to pieces so that it breaks it all up and then forces its entry into the ground? It doesn't. There's a free will process taking place. Verse 13, and the seeds that are upon the rock are those who, when they should hear, they receive the word with joy. You've got to be careful about getting excited. I can appreciate people who do get excited about hearing about the things of the Lord, and they get all excited about the things of the Lord. But these are those who have no root. That is, there's a small layer of dirt on the top that's receptive to the seed, but underneath that is rock. They who believe for a time or for a season, and in time of testing, some of you have the translation temptation. It's the word for testing. In a time of testing, they fall away. They have no root. The trials work the truth out in our lives. Coming and hearing the Word of God is one thing. But it's the trials of life that work the truth into our heart. The trials are like the hoe and the shovel and the hula hoe that works the Word of God into our hearts. It's not the people who are excited about the Lord that belong to Christ. It's the people who, even after being excited, after the honeymoon is over, so to speak, you get down to following the Lord and learning of the Lord week after week, month after month, and year after year on a consistent, continual basis, even when all the excitement has worn off. And God says, okay, everything that you're learning, we're going to go out in life and we're going to work this into the soil. When that happens with people, when the trials come, they fall away. They say, well, this isn't fun anymore. It's not exciting. Or they go look for a place. They say, well, I'm going to go find a place where they have some fun at church, where I can get this excitement back and I don't have to spend time listening to the Word of God. Go someplace where they can entertain me. Please take note that there are people who are excited about the things of the Lord right away and they fall away, and this is the explanation for it. Excitement wears off. They have no depth. They were receptive and they welcomed it for a while. Verse 14, those, the seed who fell amongst the thorns are these, or the ones after having heard and while going. There is a double life taking place. They hear the word, and after hearing the word, they are going. They're going about their business. There are two things that happen. First of all, that the seed, the effects of the word of God, are choked by three things. The cares of life, merimnao is the root word. It means to have the attention of the mind occupied with things. Anything. People, activities, problems, worries. Jesus translated it or presented it as anxiety in Matthew chapter 6. Be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall put on. Neither what you shall wear or what you shall... Just the necessities of life, which we justify and say, hey, you got to be concerned about the necessities of life. Jesus said, no, seek first the kingdom of God and what the necessities will be added to you. You don't have to take a detour and a time out from the things of the Lord to take care of necessities. It'll be added. The second thing are the riches. Wealth. We have a pursuit of wealth. How to get wealthy. I get bombarded with them with emails. You know, earn $1,000 a day from your computer at home. You know, okay, there's plenty of those people, right? They're making money out of the people that say, okay, sign me up. I want to earn $1,000 a day. Same thing in the church. For $39.95, I will teach you the basic principles from the Bible of how to get rich. Now, you just made me rich. And the only way you're going to get rich is if you go out and hold a seminar and have people pay you to teach them how to get rich. That's all it is. It's all the American way of life, and because we have so much freedom, we have a lot of freedom to get caught up with the cares of this life, to pursue riches. How about the pleasures of life? The Greek word is hedone, where we get our word hedonism from. Just flat out, given up time, given up life to satisfy the hedonistic desires of life. The second thing that happens, the first thing, they are choked. And the second thing that happens, they are not brought to completion. Here's the medical term for a woman coming to full term. They hear the word, But after hearing the word, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whenever the word is given, the rest of their time, they just go do their own thing. They're doing a dual life. I'm hearing the word, but yet I'm going out, not realizing that the very things that occupy the attention of my mind, the very pursuit of riches, and making the satisfaction of my hedonistic fleshly desires a priority, trying to satisfy all those desires for pleasure, that those things in my life are choking out the effects of God's Word, as powerful as God's Word is. And the purpose for which God's Word comes into my life is never brought to completion. Full term. Fourthly, verse 15. Then the seed on the good ground. Earlier, in verses 4 through 8, Jesus used agathos for the good ground. In verse 15, the first word is the word kalos, for good ground, which means it's right. Right soil for the seed. These are the ones whoever in a right and good heart, that is, the soil conditions are correct and it's fertile. It is receptive to the agathos of God. When they hear the word of God, at the time when they hear it, they hold it down. That's the literal translation of the word keep. They keep it. If you can picture, and in fact, if you've ever seen seed that has fallen into plowed ground, as soon as it hits and buries itself a little bit under it, and the dirt just covers it. If the ground has been plowed and tilled, you drop the seed in the soil, you can see dirt. As soon as it hits, the dirt just falls on top of it because it buries itself just by hitting the soil. This is a condition of the soil that basically says the seed's there, the soil is now receptive to where the soil holds it down. Taking care that the birds don't come and eat it, taking care that making sure that the cares and riches and pleasures of life do not choke it out. It's an attitude of paying attention to what is affecting the ministry of God's Word for your life. We can't all be perfect and keep a log of every little detail that happens in this earthly life to make sure that it doesn't bother us, but we have to be aware of what Jesus is teaching. It isn't the Word of God that is affected, it's the effects of God's Word in our life, and that God allows His Word, as powerful as it is, for people to have a response to it. It'll just sit there in the heart. It won't force its way into the heart. To where a person's heart is either receptive to God's Word or not. Some people are receptive for a little while. If somebody came to me and said, well, I received the Lord 6 months ago and I'm really excited about the things of the Lord, I'd be excited with you. I'd say, praise the Lord. But I'd also put a postscript on there, an asterisk after the statement, and I'll say, we'll see. It's the one who endures to the end is the one that's saved. The people that fall off, they haven't lost their salvation. They're just revealing that they were never saved. And we have to understand that. So the first thing that the person does when he hears the word of God that has the good ground, he holds it down. Doesn't let it get away. Reading, reviewing, praying, won't let that influence and is sensitive to the activities of this earthly life, occupying them, the direction of their life, pursuing riches or pursuing pleasure, realizing that these things choke out the influence of God's Word. I can, as a possibility, live a dual life. Hear and study the Word of God, but go out and live my life in such a way to take advantage of Satan's bait that he's put out there, that the effect and influence of the Word is choked. So then he says in verses 16 through 18, the presentation of the lamp. No one having after lit a lamp covers it with a container. The word vessel is the word container. Or puts it under a couch. The couch would be the reclining couch at the table. Because remember, they didn't have chairs. They had like mats or mattresses that they would lay on with one arm on the table. And they would actually be lounging. They'd actually be laying at the table in their fellowship or in their dinners. Neither do they put it under a couch, but he puts it upon a lampstand in order that the ones coming in may see the light. Jesus is talking about himself being the light and the light manifesting through the Word. For there is not a thing hidden which will not become manifest. I like the King James word manifest because it has to do with the light. There are different words for revelation or exposure, but this word has to do with exposing something by the light. There is not a thing hidden which will not become manifest, nor anything secret which will never become known and should come to manifestation. In other words, everything hidden and everything secret is going to be eventually, one way or another, revealed by the light. And people are going to have a response. Verse 18 is the teaching. Therefore, observe how you are hearing. That's the message. Jesus said his teaching and his word is the light. The light will manifest and reveal all the hidden and secret things. Not things like thoughts and statements so much as the condition of people's hearts. Observe. Take notice how you are hearing. Not just that you hear. Remember what Jesus said, let the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. Take notice and observe yourself. How are you hearing? Not just the fact that you did physically, audibly hear something. For whoever might have, it will be given to him. In other words, the light will reveal more and more to the one who has. And whoever might not have, even what he seems or presumes to have, will be removed from him. So the religious people think that they already have it. I'm already going to heaven because I'm a religious person, I believe in God, and I try to be a good person, and I try to practice all the things that the church tells me to do. Jesus said, even what a person thinks that he has will be removed from him. Given by how we hear. We're either responsive to the Word. We can even bury ourselves in religion. That's a heart of rejecting Jesus Christ. I think that those are the hardest people to reach. Are people who say, I'm rebellious against the light and the truth of God's Word. I'm going to go find a church to join. They can't be reached. Even the occults that go door to door, when they knock on your door and you present the truth to them, they are not listening. All they're doing is listening to whatever your response is to their presentation so that they can come up with an answer that they've been taught to give. They're not interested in the truth. Literally, by believing in their form of religion, they are actually out purposely to defeat the truth for themselves, argue against it. Let's go learn an argument because this person says this. And if they cannot defeat it, they'll send somebody who can. They won't do it themselves. The occult groups is the epitome of religion. The rebellion of man against the truth of God found in religious form. Out to defeat the truth through religion. Verses 19 through 21. His mother and brothers came to him. Now Jesus is teaching in a house. His mothers and brothers came to him, but they couldn't get to get to him because of the crowd that was on the outside and inside of the house. So someone came in, a messenger came in, certain ones came in saying to him, your mother and your brothers have been standing outside desiring to see you. Now, I don't know about your mom. When my mom was alive, and my mom desired to see me, you stopped what you were doing and you went. Because mom was mom. Okay? It is interesting that they thought, hey, we have to interrupt the teacher because his mother and brothers have come, hearing all that's going on, so we better let him know that mom and brothers are out there. First of all, let me say to you that Jesus did have brothers and sisters. According to Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56, it lists for us the names of his half-brothers and sisters. That is, Mary and Joseph had normal physical relationships after the birth of Jesus Christ. At the time of Christ's birth, according to the end of Matthew chapter 1, that Mary was still a virgin at the time of the birth of Christ. It was not a virgin birth, it was a natural birth. She was still a virgin when she during the natural birth. Afterwards, and we're presented again in Matthew 13, 55 and 56, we are presented the fact that Jesus had half-brothers and sisters, and so they were outside, and we know from John chapter 7 that Jesus' brothers did not believe in him. So they're not coming to hear the Word of God, they're coming to get this guy, their half-brother, the mother, again, kind of going along with the human element here of fetching him, because people are now listening to him and flocking to him as if he's the Messiah. So there's a little bit of a human mix of confusion here. But Jesus rightly said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? My mother and my brother are these, the ones hearing the Word of God and doing it. Two participles. Again, the Word of God is in the attributive position between the ones and hearing. The ones who are constantly hearing the Word of God and constantly doing it, these are his mother and his brothers. They say blood is thicker than water. Your family's number one. Spirit is thicker than blood. The family of God is in the body of Christ. Yes, we have family. Yes, we have fleshly relationships, people we're associated with and related to. But in reality, once a person has been born of the Spirit of God, the family is the body of Christ. Because Jesus is revealing there's only two kinds of families. The ones who belong to Christ and the ones who don't. Jesus even said, those of your own household will be your enemies. There'll be a household of five, three against two, two against three. And the household will be divided. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but to divide the household. Those that belong to Christ and those that don't. It's a tough struggle that we go through. We're related. We have affection and love, and yet we belong to Christ. The Lord is showing the dilemma that when he was confronted with the situation, he looked around and said, these people who have come to hear the Word of God and have come to do it. That's my mother. That's my brothers. That's my family. And of course, the Lord's brothers eventually believed after his resurrection. We know that Mary did believe. She had some confusing times, which we can understand. Romans 10:17, Paul says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The person who has a heart for the Lord is drawn by God's Spirit to hear God's Word, and God's Word breaks up the fallow ground, prepares it, plants the seed, waters it, cultivates it, and causes it to come to full completion, full term, salvation. In James 1:22, James says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If a person just comes and listens, that's good. That's better than nothing. But like Jesus said in verse 18, observe how you're hearing. That's the most important point. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for another time, another hour that we could spend with you in your word. We pray that by your Spirit, and we confess only by your Spirit, can we receive and understand and be ministered to these truths from your word. We pray that you take what your word has said, not what a man has said, but what your word has said, and bless our hearts and change our hearts and minister to our hearts and cause us to observe how we are hearing, that we too can seek you and to search you, cause you and call out to you to break up the fallow ground, remove those influences that choke out the influence of the word, and above all, give us understanding and make us aware that according to the teaching of your word, not because of the limitations of your word, but because of the design which you have chosen in the interaction with our heart, that we can live a life, a dual life of hearing the word and going by the ways of this earthly life, and those influences choke out its influence. Again, make us aware of these things and give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.